It's great to be back here. Thank you. We're just singing the song, and I'm here to say that I won't and we shouldn't be quiet. We want to shout out his praise this morning, and there's much to praise him for. It's back in the mid-90s that my family ended up here at Davisville after spending 5 years in an isolated jungle village where we had to catch our own water. There was no electricity. Daughter was born with cerebral palsy, had to come back and try to figure out what is this cerebral palsy doing to her poor body. Came here not knowing too many people, and we were accepted into this church like family. And like family, it's not a perfect church. But they brought us in, great servants. I was here not too long, and a friend of mine called and gave me 2 tickets to an Orioles game, and I'd wanted to see Camden Yards. So my wife and I were planning, and we couldn't find a babysitter. So I called this new young kid that started working at Davisville named Tim Wilson. I said, "Tim, will you go to the baseball game with me?" And he said, "Well, why aren't you taking your wife?" And I said, "Well, we can't find a babysitter, and it's a big, long trip." And he said, "I'll come over." And Tim was at our house from 3:30 that afternoon till after midnight, putting our kids to bed so my wife and I could have a date night. That's a family. That's a servant. And I'm not sorry for embarrassing you, Tim. But one of the things, it wasn't just a family that was all about itself. They realized they were blessed to be a blessing. And this church for many, many years supported many missionaries going out to the ends of the earth. There is not much return on investment when you give money away like that. But it's real passion to knowing that they were blessed to be a blessing. And that they realized that though we are family, they're very proud to go and send and go to the ends of the earth. And as a matter of fact, after I was here a few years, they desired to plant a church locally. And so we as elders were talking about what that meant. And I remember meeting with Don Smith and Jack O'Brien and talking about what does it mean for a church to really grab onto this missions thing and be proactive. And we came with this dream to the elders. Instead of planting a church locally, why don't we do it globally? Somewhere where there isn't a church within walking distance of people. Somewhere where there aren't too many Christians. And that blew all of us away. And I said, "I know, but this is a great, big, hairy, audacious goal that only God can do." And so we walked through the process. How were we going to plant a church locally? We were going to choose some people who were really growing in the Lord and in ministry and then train them. And if we were going to plant a church locally, seed the new church with these people. We decided to do that in Cambodia. So we wrote a bunch of people in the church, and just as elders, we prayed for 6 months and talked about people that we saw growing spiritually. Not people that came up and they were interested in missions, but people who wanted to serve God with their lives. And after 6 months of adding names, taking names off, praying, the elders wrote a letter to about 20 people and said, "We've seen God working in your life. We've seen you blessing others as you have been blessed. Would you want to be part of us planting a church somewhere?" And 20 foolish people showed up to a lunch that afternoon, finding out, "Where is this?" We said, "We don't know. We just know this is a big, hairy, audacious goal. Would you be willing to be part of a training class?" So for a year and a half, we gathered at 8 on Sunday mornings. So that included people coming to church and bringing their kids, and there is a cost to their kids, and just what does this training really look like? What does it mean to reach a different culture? What does it mean for us to train and send people out? And after about 18 months, the group was down to about 10 people, and we took a vision trip to this place called Cambodia. And the group went out saying, "Man, this is a tough place. Why Cambodia? Why should we go there?" And they came back after 2 rough weeks saying, "How can't we go there? The needs are so great, the social structure's broken, and they need Jesus." So some needed some Bible training, so we started Davisville Bible Institute here as part of this family to send them out well. And it wasn't a known process. This is something that was unknown, that we're stepping out and say, "God, we need your help. What kind of training do they need?" And these weren't people that were ready to go and saying, give me the torch and I'll take it to the darkness. It was people that just were ministering here and say, if you as leadership believe God can use me, my role is just to take a step forward in faith. And in 2006, we sent people out into the unknown. People who are willing to deny themselves, their own goals here in a nice retirement or a nice hope, a home, but just willing to step out and do this big, hairy, audacious goal. And to be honest, it was doomed for failure. You can't send a team of Americans out to a new culture and expect everything to go well. But God, but a great big awesome God who has done incredible things in Cambodia through these servants ready to step out and through this church that was ready to count the cost and to send this team. So it was exciting to be part of the process and to see people step up in fear without knowing, but God. We're here to celebrate a great big awesome God who is always faithful and always good, and always leading his church into great, big, hairy, audacious goals.
Hi, I'm Jack O'Brien, one of Davisville's elders. I've been involved in missions leadership at Davisville for many years, and my wife Julie and I have had the privilege of being involved in Davisville's Cambodia focus and seeing God raise up a team to go there and seeing God bless that work throughout the years. As I think about Davisville's Cambodia focus, it has had a great impact on Davisville's family. We've also sent a number of short-term teams to Cambodia over the last 15 years. We've had 70 people from Davisville put their feet on Cambodian soil. That includes 5 pastors and 5 elders who have gone on trips, and Davisville people have invested over $160,000 to support those trips throughout the years. Our 2021 annual total giving for monthly support of our missionaries in Cambodia will be about $74,000. And as we look back over those monthly support gifts since 2006, we have just invested over $1 million in monthly support for our Cambodia missionaries. As well, many of our own Davisville families are individually supporting Cambodian our missionaries in Cambodia, individually giving to scholarships, sponsorships, projects, and I'm confident that the individual giving to Cambodia will also top that 1 million figure over the last 15 years. Personally, Davisville's focus on Cambodia has been a great blessing to me, to my family, and I'm sure it has been a blessing and encouragement to you and your family. We've gained a greater understanding of what God is doing around the world and how we can be engaged in it. We've seen the selfless commitment of Davisville's leadership to not hoard resources for local ministry, but to freely be willing to share resources, both human resources and financial resources, to make disciples in Cambodia. To our Cambodia team, I'd like to say your Davisville family loves you. We thank you for taking us with you to Cambodia to minister there, to love the Khmer people. And we trust that the Lord will continue to give you grace and strength and wisdom as you carry out your ministries there in Cambodia. May the Lord continue to use each of us at Davisville to influence people both locally and globally to fully follow Jesus.
Thanks, Jack. I know Jack and Julie wish they could have been here. They are actually ministering in Mexico, and so they couldn't be here. But he chimed in, and we accept his encouragement of us as a team. And thank you to Kevin and Pam. They flew all the way here from California just to be a part of this. And they have been hugely instrumental in the Cambodia team being where we are today. 15 years. 15 years we left, and there's not words to describe. I feel a great sense of privilege and awe to stand here because as Kevin said, first of all, we honor God, and we'll talk about that as we get into our passage, but I'm representing a group of people, the Drebuses, the Gabriels, Anissa, Chelsea Cooper, and the Vosters, and us. Your Cambodia team, your representatives, God's representatives in Cambodia, your arms and feet, God's hands and feet in Cambodia. And I just say thank you. There's not really words to describe. I'm speaking on behalf of the whole team when I say, really, from the bottom of our heart, we can't express our thanks enough. Thanks to the worship team. I think that was a little bit of heaven this morning. I really did, and I think in heaven we're going to see more instruments, probably a lot more drums, and actually Kevin said that he was going to give his speech and do an interpretive dance as a part of it, and it would have fit, and Jeff Wood yesterday said he was going to join him, if I'm not mistaken, and you have to ask him to do that afterwards. I want to go on a missionary journey today. And we've been on a journey of 15 years, and we're celebrating 15 years. It's really a celebration. It's a 20-year celebration because the vision originally was cast in 2001, if I'm not mistaken, to the elders. And I was a part of the elders at that time, and we sat in Ocean City, and Kevin and Jack presented this vision to the elders. And that's when it unfolded. That was 20 years ago. Because they set the vision to have a team in place in 5 years, if I'm not mistaken, and God allowed that to happen. We're going to take a missionary journey, and we're going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and you can turn there with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, but I want to kind of get into the mindset where the Apostle Paul was at the time of his writing. So he wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church from Corinth. And so I want to backtrack a little bit, go on his second missionary journey very quickly, and then we'll have some celebration points that we'll talk about. So they had finished their first missionary journey, and you'll remember Paul and Barnabas' disagreement, and they parted ways. And the church sends Paul and Silas off, and they head off for the second missionary journey to encourage the churches that they had planted on the first missionary journey. Along the way, they picked up Timothy, and then they arrive in Troas, and you'll remember the Macedonian call, where in a vision, the Apostle Paul sees a man, and the man saying, "Here, come over here." And really, the mission of the church, I believe, kind of changed at that point. And he crossed over. You'll remember he ended up from there. He went to Philippi, and you'll remember he was in prison, thrown into prison, and miraculously, by God's grace, escaped. And God did that. From there, he went on to Thessalonica. And so we're going to be talking about the Thessalonian church. So I just want to read a quick passage from Acts chapter 17. You don't have to turn there. Just listen real quick. But just the first couple verses of Acts chapter 17 talks about his time in Thessalonica, on this second missionary journey. Verse 1 says this, "When Paul and his companion had passed through and Amphipolis and Apollonia, excuse the pronunciation. They came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue, and as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days," and that's important, he was there 3 weeks in Thessalonica, "on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from Scripture, explaining and proving that Jesus was the Messiah and had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. "Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and a few prominent women." But things shifted. Some accepted the message at that point, but some didn't. And a mob was formed. And so he couldn't stay. So he ministered in the synagogues for 3 weeks and then was basically forced out. He was forced out to Berea, and he started preaching again. And the same rabble group, rough houses, I don't remember what the words were that they used, came from Thessalonica, and then he had to move on from Berea because he came and he was under persecution at that point too. So from there, he went on to Athens. And in Athens, Paul begins to think about this young church in Thessalonica. And he says, wow, I wonder what happened to them. And it hasn't been that long. And so he sends Timothy to find out how this church is doing. And we find out, if you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 right now, look at chapter 3 real quick in verse 5. It says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, and we're getting a backdrop to where we're headed today. It says, "For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors had been in vain." He was concerned about this young church. He had ministered there. He had planted a church, or at least a group of believers that started to worship together, and then he had to pull out and leave. And as a minister of the Word of God, a minister of the gospel, he's concerned about this young church, and he sends Timothy, and you can read his angst in this. "When I sent to find out about your faith because I just didn't know, and there was lots of persecution." We find that if you read through Acts. Well, he sends Timothy, and then from Athens he moves on to Corinth. And that's where he writes this letter. And in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 3, it says he comes to Corinth in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And as I read through different things, it talks in some ways about how he approaches his ministry. And I think there's an aspect of humility to this fear and trembling. I also think it's a physical thing, very much a physical thing. When you think about the challenges of this second missionary journey and the persecution that he's faced and the prison and being driven out by night and from place to place to place, there's a physical weakness and fear. And I can't imagine the struggle that he is in. Well, then Timothy comes back. He had sent Timothy when he was concerned about this church, and Timothy comes back and he brings a report about this church who he only ministered in for 3 weeks. And if you stay in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let me just read verses 6 through 8. It says this: "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. In all our distress and persecutions, we were encouraged about you because of your faith." Paul asked a question. He was in Corinth. He had gone through this journey. He had ministered in Thessalonica, and he was asking a question about this church. And the question was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was it worth my time that I spent in Thessalonica and facing the persecution? He asked that question. I think it's a valid question for you to ask today. As Davisville Church, 15 years, you heard the numbers. Staggering. How many were shocked to hear that over $1 million has been invested in us? Judah was shocked. That's a lot. To know that it's even double that if you add in the individual giving that's taking place. Not to mention the investment of prayer through the years, hours and hours of people spending on their knees on our behalf. It's humbling, folks, to know that you're holding us up in prayer. It's a question worth asking. Was it worth it? Was it worth Davisville investing that kind of money? Was it worth the sacrifice on the part of the church of sending some of their own, us? We were, as Kevin shared, we were very involved in ministry. They selected people that were, why, I don't know, but that were involved in ministry, and we ended up there. Was it worth it? Davidsville's mission statement is influencing people to what? To fully follow Jesus. It's worth it for you to ask the question, while we did this, we invested this 15, 20 years ago, was it worth it? Was it worth the time? Did this team do what we asked them to do? Did the sacrifice of time and people, resources, money accomplish what God has called this church to do, and that is to influence people to fully follow Christ? I think the Apostle Paul to this Thessalonian church gives a resounding yes to that question. And I would propose that this church can give a resounding yes to that question too. Was it worth it? Keep in mind as we celebrate, there's a danger in celebration, because particularly for missionary and pastors, all of a sudden we start talking about what this team did, and the spotlight starts to turn to us. And I know this team. I know they don't want this spotlight. They want the spotlight to bounce off us and go right to God, because it's Him who did it. We approach this in fear and trembling and in weakness, and we continue to serve in that same mindset because we can't do it. Only God, but God. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind that today, as we celebrate, we're celebrating not what World Team has done, not what Refuge for the Poor has done, not what the Cambodia team is doing, but we're celebrating God and what He has done. His influence, the influence of the gospel message on a people that need it desperately. That's what we celebrate today. We talk about Paul's state of mind, weakness and fear. Can you imagine him sitting in Corinth? He's come to Corinth and struggling maybe. Maybe, you know, he's faced some persecution, he's had some successes, he's had some failures, and he's struggling, and he gets this letter. Now he gets to write back to him. He gets to write back to this church and be an encouragement. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 today, because that's Paul celebrating this church. And I think we'll find four areas of celebration in the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Let's start by reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You can follow along as I read this whole chapter, first 10 verses. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. It takes that even that statement takes on more meaning because we know the mindset that Paul was likely in. He's excited. And I need to get this down on paper because I want them to know I'm encouraged by it. We always thank God for all of you, continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before God our Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia, to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from the wrath to come. Let's pray as we dive into these four points. Lord, we give you this celebration day, and as has already been said from our songs to what's been said already, we give you the glory for what you've done in Cambodia and will continue to do going forward. We give you this time and trust that your Spirit will work here and speak to our hearts through your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what was Paul celebrating? Again, like I mentioned, I believe the first chapter, at least as I read it, gave me four reasons, and I'd like to unpack those a little bit today. And we'll hear from some of our Cambodia team members as we do that. So number one, Number one, we celebrate changed lives. We celebrate changed lives. In verse 3, it says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope." He was encouraged by their faith, but it wasn't just a faith. There was an inward change, a changed life, an inward change that was manifested in outward actions. And we read about that here. It was your labor prompted love, your work produced by faith, and your endurance inspired by hope. We could spend 3 messages just on those 3 points, and we can. But there was an outward manifestation of an inward change. We celebrate changed lives. It wasn't just what was communicated that others were recognizing this in this young church too. So in verse 9 of that first chapter says, "And that they," meaning the Thessalonian church, "have turned from idols and to serve the living and true God, to wait for his Son in heaven." That's key. There was an outward action to an inward change taking place. Well, we've seen change take place in Cambodia too, and we've seen lives change. And we've had the privilege of watching some journey through that change, and it hasn't always been easy. And Jim's going to come and share and introduce us to someone whose life has been changed in Cambodia.
Can you hear me okay? Okay, there. Yeah, I want to, there'll be a slide on the screen in just a second. As I saw the information he was going to share about 1 Thessalonians, there was a certain he asked for a testimony, if I had one. Not about myself, but about someone serving there. And she is, no, not yet on the screen there. This is Sina. And many of the 70 who have been there know Sina. I just wish she could be sharing on her own behalf today, but she's not here, so I'll share on her behalf. But as I think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, she is someone that comes to mind as showing the attributes of this chapter. Okay, there she is on the right-hand side enjoying some watermelon there. Sina shows the attributes of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. When she became a believer in high school about 12 years ago, and in that time, in her own home, she began to be persecuted by her mom especially, but the neighbors joined in and kind of put her down, belittled her, said she's failing the community, said she's failing her family. Even some of her fellow peers would put her down. And this just didn't happen over it wasn't like a riot like Paul had, and then he was out of that, although difficult as it was. This went on for years, and yet she continued on in her faith, growing and just going forward. Her faith was strong in the Lord. She began to grow, and due to that persecution, or through that, she began to be one of the strongest believers that we know in the province. So she grew through her through persecution. And chapter 3, as Pat mentioned earlier, talked about Thessalonians standing firm in the faith, and that typifies what I see in her life. He also mentioned a few minutes ago laboring in their love. I think of Sina. Sometimes we see her come back in from ministry, and she's just exhausted. So Carol and I will go to her and say, "How are you doing? You look really tired. Are you okay?" And she says, "Yeah, I'm tired, but it was good." Or, "Yeah, I'm tired, but I'm happy." She loves to serve. Her love for the Lord and her love for others propels her through into ministry. And then it talks about, just a moment ago, your faith is known everywhere, or you became a model to the believers. And I think of Sina. She's a gifted person, as all of us are, but she's a regular person, but she has worked in ministry for years, hundreds and hundreds of hours working and serving people, and she's gotten very, very good at what she does. She's really a blessing, and she trains others. I'll just list a couple things that what she does. She does a lot of children's ministry, and she always is with others. Just like you see in the picture, this is Sina. She's always taking some others alongside of her. She's discipling young women. She's visiting and evangelizing the villages. That's probably what she's doing here, or she's representing the Plaprai. This is a ministry trip, and they would just stop along the roadside for a picnic, for lunch, basically, and then on to their way. Serving the local church. It was Sina that, during the COVID season, basically held the church together through arranging Facebook Messenger to put it online and organizing the services. She did a huge amount during the COVID season. And I could list other things. I have things, but I too many to list. One of the cool things is she has joined our Pray Vihia team. She's one of our members. She's an equal member, and we utilize her wisdom of her own culture to help us serve there. She's really a blessing. So a lot of times our meetings are in Khmer language until we get excited, and then we go back to English. We go back and forth all the time. But our team is not the only one that has benefited from her service. When she was in college, she was the go-to person or one of the go-to people that would represent the school, either on trips or when VIPs would come into the school to visit. The school wanted her to represent them. And so many of the other churches and ministries nearby have asked for her help. Often she can't give it. She's too busy. So I think they would all say, give us a Sina. Give us someone like her that can help in our ministry. So she's really a model of the faith. Just in conclusion, one of the cool things that we've been able to see over the years is she has changed from a self-conscious teenager to a God-assured servant of God. She really has walked with God, and she has developed respect for herself, or God has done that through her. Even her mom, who gave her much trouble, we know her mom really well. Her mom can be very difficult, but her mom has grown to respect her for various reasons. Her love, she has served her community, she has served her village in many, many ways, over and over again, hundreds of hours in her village. And I think the neighbors respect her at this point. And my final thing I want to say, even when the Cambodia team is long gone from Cambodia and it's just Cambodians, this girl will be serving the Lord. She will be continuing on. Possibly God will use her in foreign lands as well, beyond Cambodia. I wouldn't be at all surprised. So I thank God for this servant of God.
That picture that was up there, to me, represents Sina. If you saw her smiling face, every time I see her, that's usually the smile that I see on her face. And as Paul was celebrating changed lives of the Thessalonians, we can celebrate changed lives like Sina in Cambodia. Secondly, so we celebrate changed lives. Secondly, there's something that causes that change. And verse 5 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says this, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. Secondly, we celebrate the power of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit in Cambodia. I mentioned earlier, any celebration, we need to have the spotlight go on Christ, because he's the one. This is where that power comes from. And he needs to be exalted. When we fail to exalt Christ, when we fail to put him in the place, we fail to celebrate the power of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, where does the spotlight come? And we, by the way, we like it. We kind of like when that spotlight's, and we say, hey, nice job, Kevin. Good job, Phil. Nice job. You know, we like to hear those accolades, but it starts to be an inward focus, and we need to have an outward focus. We celebrate the power of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these people. The Holy Spirit has come with deep conviction, and we've seen that in the lives of people in Cambodia. You heard of Sina. I don't have a picture, but I'll introduce you to a couple that was very dear to us, Sret and Da. We knew them basically from when we landed. They were a part of our lives. And probably even like here, you wonder, well, does the gospel take hold? Is the Holy Spirit really working in somebody's life? And we lost Da this year. Dear friend, who we've known for 15 years, and we served. She was with us all through language school, and she went to Kokong with us when we served in the province, and she became a part of our team. And I got a call from Sret one night, and he said, hey, I had to take Da to the clinic, and I don't know what to do. This is in the midst of COVID. I couldn't go there. I couldn't do anything. She had passed away by the next morning, not COVID-related. They still don't fully know. And so Jeannie and I went and sat down with Sret that afternoon, and through tears and struggle that he was having, he talked about how God had held them through that. And he was giving praise to God for that, for the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, because they were turned away from the government hospital and sent to another hospital. And I was frustrated. I was mad. I was angry because it could have saved her life. We don't know. And all he could do was say, well, we got into a room that was air-conditioned, and the family was able to come in, and we were able to be with her when she passed. And he was giving glory to God for that. As we sat, I said, is there anything that we can do? And he said, no. He said, the church is coming to minister to us that night. And that was the church that Greg and James ministry is a part of. And that missionaries weren't even a part of that. This church was coming to minister to this man at this time of need in his life. We celebrate the power of the gospel. It has the ability to change lives, as we've heard in Sina. It has as the Holy Spirit works through that, it has the ability to comfort people in difficult times. When people understand the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, it's a miraculous thing. And we've had the opportunity to do that. And through your generosity of prayers, of encouragement, of walking with our Cambodia team, God has used us to minister to people like Sina and to like Sret and Da. And they still struggle. They're still asking the questions. And we sat in the airport with Sret's daughter, Jiata, as we left to come here. And as she cried, she was asking, she was saying, Lord, why? But she knew the gospel. And she knew the Holy Spirit was working through her. You're going through Ephesians, and it talks about this power that Sret and Da experienced, the power of the gospel. Talks about God's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Romans chapter 1 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's power. It's power for us, and we celebrate the power of the gospel in our own lives because it's changed us. It's changed who we are, and we take that to somebody else. It's changed Sinai's life. It's changed Sret and Da's life, and it's changed others' lives. We celebrate the power of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit in our own lives, but also in the lives of the Cambodia people. So we celebrate changed lives. We celebrate the power of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit and the deep conviction that has come. And thirdly, we celebrate examples worth following or a legacy of leadership being built. In the end of verse 5 through verse 7, it says this, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. They became Paul, and you know, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me and do what I do. He became he was an example and a model, and he was encouraging people to follow him. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of suffering. You became models. So not only did they receive the power, the gospel message, they imitated what they saw, and now we're imitating or sharing that example with somebody else. Greg's going to come and talk about a legacy of leadership being built in Cambodia, because we can celebrate a legacy of leadership. Greg.
Hello, everyone. Pat asked a question a little bit earlier, was it worth it? And Jane and I would have to say with a resounding yes, it was worth it. It was really, really worth it. Just a quick personal story I wanted to share with you before I introduced you to one of our disciples. I think you all met Kevin Kane earlier. This has to do with him a little bit. But back in the early 90s, I had a head knowledge of who Jesus was, but I really didn't know that you could have a personal relationship with Christ in your heart and journey with God. And I got saved in 1994, and I started coming to Davisville. And the first small group we went to, they were in the passage of James where it talks about confessing your sins. And so I knew how to confess my sins from the previous religion that I was in, but I didn't know how you confessed your sin here at Davisville. So I spoke up and I said, well, how do you guys confess your sin? And I didn't get a response at all. So I waited and waited. And next thing I heard Kevin Kane speak up and say, we do that at Perkins Pancake House at 7 o'clock in the morning. And he said, I'll meet you there tomorrow morning. So that was the beginning of my discipleship. So, and then one of the sessions, because I was still green at all this, I said to him, well, how are you going to know whether I'm lying to you or not? And he said to me, if I find out you're lying, I'm going to tell Pastor Ron. And so, of course, I didn't want Pastor Ron to know. But anyway, as Jane and I did grow in our faith, we got really excited about sharing the good news because we felt like we didn't know for almost half our life that this message about the good news and having this personal relationship with the Lord. So there's many things that we could share with you this morning, but we wanted to share with you about one of our disciples. His name is Pete Du. You can pull the first picture up. And Pete Du, we met him about 10 years ago when he was 12 years old, and Davisville started sponsoring him. And he first started coming to this church that we partnered with, and most of the time we've heard the testimony from the kids. They would come to church just because it was fun, and when they left with a snack. But there was something different about P2. We saw in him this desire to want to learn, and he was so hungry, and he wanted to know more and more and more. And so as we spent time with him, he started to really understand, and he gave his life to Christ. So he's really grown in his faith over the years. But this next picture is of his home. And him and his sister, who graduated from our university dorm last year, opened up this home to children's ministry. So every Sunday they would have children's ministry, and they just had this desire for their whole community to come to know the Lord. And the last time we were on home assignment, a few years back, someone walked up to us and presented us with a check. And we had been praying with our national leadership team to come alongside of Pete Du and his sister to figure out how can we expand this ministry, because they just have this heart and passion for the gospel and they want it to go out to their community. So we felt that that check was an answer to the situation that we found ourselves in. So in this next picture, you'll see we tore down the house and we built this little ministry center, and it provided housing for P2's family as well. So now they have a really safe and clean and place that doesn't flood, where they can invite the neighbors in, invite the kids in for ministry. And it's just been a real celebration to build this center. And the next picture, you'll see them just ministering in the top floor is the whole center part. And P2 and his sister have a real heart and passion to reproduce themselves. So just like Jane and I, Davisville leadership here had spent countless hours pouring into our lives and wanting us to grow and to learn and to become more like Christ. We have been able to take all that that leadership training and discipleship, and we were able to transform that into the Cambodian culture. And now these guys are doing the same thing. You can flick to the next picture. So these are some of the leaders that Dan A. and Pete Du are starting to raise up now. And they're just really excited to see that this DNA of reproduction is now going on to their leaders. And just a quick story, Davisville sent a team a couple years ago and visited Pete Du's ministry. And they're just so excited, the Cambodian nationals, when we come and visit them, but they're just really, really grateful for Davisville and the prayers and the love and kindness that you've shown to them over the years. And the next picture is, this is P2 now. He's graduating from the Cambodian University with an international business relation degree. And he just has a heart and passion to surrender himself wherever God leads him. That's where he wants to go. And it's so neat that all of you here are a part of P2 multiplying himself in Cambodia. So it's just so refreshing and so exciting to be able to be in the background now and just to see the disciples that we've been able to pour into carry on the work. And so we're just so excited to see what God might do in the future. So we just want to thank you all for your love and support. And we just praise and thank you, and to God be all the glory. Amen. Amen.
We celebrate examples worth following. We can't be examples to others unless there was examples given to us, like a Kevin Kane or Jack O'Brien or a Ron Schmidt or Tim Wilson or Kevin Osnick or a Michelle Matzik. The list goes on and on. And Greg mentioned hundreds of hours that have been invested in us so we could invest in others, so that they could invest in others, so that they could invest in others. And that leads us to our fourth point and last point. And so we celebrate changed lives. We celebrate the power of the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate examples worth following. Not just here. I mean, not just in Cambodia, but here. You need to celebrate that. If you want to know how to honor your leaders, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Read through that, verses 12 through 22. Hold them in the highest regard. That's your leaders. Hold them in the highest regard. Read through that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 through 22. We don't have time to go through that now. But if you're wondering how you should interact and love your leaders well here, that's not a bad passage to start with. Lastly, we celebrate an expanding kingdom. That's why we went. That's why we go. Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses. This is the missionary passage. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and on Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Back in 1 Thessalonians verses 6, 7, and 8 says this, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia, but your faith in God has gone everywhere. We celebrate an expanding kingdom. It's expanding because our team is expanded. Chelsea Cooper, you're supporting now, and she's now joined the PV team, and that team is expanding, and she's lending her expertise and passion for discipleship, particularly to educators, to that team, and we're excited about the kingdom being expanded because of her ministry. We think about the Vosters family, who you've taken on as support and have come through language learning and are now starting a dorm ministry so that the kingdom of God can be expanded. We celebrate what's happened through Refuge for the Poor. Greg and Jane never thought that they would be opening their own organization, but they've gone from just a vision and a dorm to ministering to factory workers, to mother's home, to a refuge center, to literally thousands of lives being impacted, the poorest of the poor in Cambodia, and God's given them a vision, and they've accepted that vision and are making it happen. We celebrate an expanding kingdom. The stability that the Gabriels have offered in Prebihia for years. How many? 13? 13 years they've lived in a remote area of Cambodia, discipling and mentoring people like Sina and many, many others who you haven't even had a chance to see. And we celebrate an expanding kingdom. For Jeannie and I, we never thought that kingdom expansion would be beyond Cambodia. We went thinking we're coming to serve Cambodia in church planning, and God used our background and skills and shape, as we call it here, and has guided us to leadership. And we have led the field in Cambodia, and now we're leading in a broader area of Asia. And so we're able to influence through you even a broader range. And we're able to see the kingdom expanded in places like Indonesia and the Philippines and Taiwan and Cambodia and hopefully Bangladesh soon. We celebrate an expanding kingdom here. And expansion happens because obedient servants are influencing people to fully follow Christ. And the journey doesn't always look the same for everyone. Anissa's around here somewhere, who is very much a part of our Cambodia team and is our biggest cheerleader. And she came, God called her to Cambodia, and I'm telling her story. So if I get it wrong, you have to ask her. Called her to Cambodia, and she left everything, and then called her back here to continue ministry. And I know why, because our kids needed somebody that knew the language and culture when they came back here. And when we talk about people who influence people to be fully devoted followers of Christ, I think of Anissa, quite honestly. Every one of the six kids, if I'm not mistaken, have lived with Anissa at one time or another. Some of them multiple at the same time. Matter of fact, I think a few of them were there until well after midnight last night. Sorry, Anissa, I know where you are. Influencing people to be fully devoted followers of Christ. God's used Anissa to influence our children to be fully devoted followers of Christ. Someone who understands the culture and language that our kids have come from. And they can come and be welcomed by somebody who understands that. We're extremely grateful. Anissa, we've got four graduated from college and one that's married. We got two more to go. Keep up the good work. Was it worth it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was worth it. If it's only one, right? The parable of the lost sheep. I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Yeah, it was worth it. Our goal is to influence people to be fully devoted followers of Christ. Let me give you a quick picture as we close of what this looks like. This is our Pray to Hear ministry. And in the back, and you won't understand it, but it's a picture of people influencing people to be fully devoted followers of Christ. So in the background, you have Joel and Jeff, who were instrumental in planting the original church in Pray to Hear. You've got Jim right behind them taking a picture, who is currently living there working through discipleship of them. In the foreground with his back to us is Purat, one of the very first believers in Pray Vihia, that's one of the leaders of the CCH church that's now ministering and working with these younger folks who are actually doing the baptism. So the missionaries have worked themselves out of a job, have released ministry to nationals, and those are actually releasing ministry to other nationals. This is what we're trying to accomplish. Influencing people to influence people to influence people to be fully devoted followers of Christ. But we don't rest. We don't stop. And the Apostle Paul does the same for this church in Thessalonica. He says, yeah, let's celebrate changed lives. Let's celebrate the power of the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit. Let's celebrate a legacy of leadership that's being established. Let's celebrate an expanding kingdom. And then he says, but. In chapter 4, verse 1, he talks about how they're supposed to live. And he says, we ask and urge you in the Lord to do this more and more. He says, We taught you how to live. We gave you an example, and you did it, and you're actually doing it really well. And do it more and more. Don't rest. Do it more and more. We can take that. In chapter 4, verse 10, he says, now about brotherly love, talks about their love for one another. And he says, we don't need to talk about that to you. You're already doing it, and you're doing it well. He says, but, he said, do it more and more. So as we close today, we celebrate the power of the gospel and changed lives in Cambodia. A resounding yes. Can we accept the challenge today too? To do it more and more? And I'll leave you with this question. What is your more and more role in reaching people for Jesus Christ? To influence them to fully follow Jesus? Would you pray with me? Father, as we close the message, we thank you for just the opportunity to celebrate you. We remember the sacrifice of your Son on the cross and the life that gives us. And we pray for those here that may not know that message. We pray that today they would make that decision, that they can celebrate the power of the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit in their very lives. Lord, thank you for being here today. Lord, would you challenge us, just as we finished, would you challenge us in what our next step is? What is our more and more role in this mission to the world to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherever you may take us? Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, a few months ago, we were thinking of planning this celebration time, and it dawned on us that I think Pat brought it to our attention that the original team was going to be here all together, which is pretty unique in over the 15-year experience to have everybody together. And so we want to take your words, first of all, Pat, to heart here and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it tells us to acknowledge those who work hard among us and to honor them. And this morning we want to do just that. We want to take a moment to honor those who have worked hard. And that original team, I'm going to ask the original team to actually make their way up here. So Pat and Jeannie, would you come on up? Greg and Jane, Jim and Carolyn, and Anissa Hensley, would you please come on up here just for a moment? If you can come on up. I know this is your least favorite part of this gathering here, but that's okay. And just squeeze in here on the stage here, if you don't mind. You can jump on in here, especially for those who are online, want to see you guys all up here. So Anissa back there, she is. The last one always coming up here. Well, just like Paul wrote in the book of Thessalonica, he talked about the faithfulness of the church in Thessalonica and their work being heard all over the world. Your faithfulness in the Lord and your love for the Cambodian people has been heard all over the world. And at Davisville, we get a special glimpse of that. But what we have for you here is we have a special gift. There's a couple gifts coming. I think they're coming up here for each of the missionaries. But what you're going to see is a custom-made wood-etched map of Cambodia with all your names, the missionary names on them, where they're at in Cambodia. And so each of you are going to get one of those. And this one is yours, actually. So I'll let you hold it over there. And there's a little gift there from our church family. This is a gift from our church family to you. We absolutely love you guys and the work that you do in Cambodia. You can tell by the hugs and the high fives and the embraces that happen when you guys come back. It is a beautiful thing to see and to witness. And so we want to honor you this morning. And we have one last message from those who are closest to you, your biggest fans. So watch the video.
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad.
Thank you for following Jesus to Cambodia.
Thank you for the example that you are to me.
Thank you for giving up everything.
It was hard to find one reason because it's just kind of been my life.
Because you truly modeled for me
what it means to live on mission.
Because it showed me how to put God first in my life.
And you really showed me what it means to live ministry instead of just doing ministry. You show what it means to do ministry as a lifestyle.
Because it showed me that no matter how hard something is, God's way is always good.
Your sacrifice for the Cambodian people has brought so many to God, and just knowing Him and loving Him, and now they're having worship nights and churches and youth groups, and it's just really a witness to not only me and my family, but so many people here in the States, as well as so many other Cambodian people.
The humility and faith that you showed to recognize the call, pick up your family, and move to a country across the world to serve the Lord is something that I will never stop admiring and respecting.
You guys sacrificed so much going to Cambodia, and put the gospel and Jesus and serving others above everything else in your life.
Both of you truly modeled that for me.
You set an example for what it means to be on the mission field, whether that be overseas or wherever you feel the call for obedience.
One thing that has stood out to me since coming back is the lesson that it's not wrong, it's just different. But that has helped me find a lot of beauty in diversity. And it also keeps me in awe of God and the fact that He distributed all of that different beauty and diversity to all the different cultures of the world.
It's really just changed who I am, I think, for the better.
And now I know as an adult that I can be anywhere and still be doing what God wants me to do.
You are a witness to the good news and grace that Christ gives to us freely, and I have a privilege of having a front row seat to your guys' passion. Thank you for everything that you've done and are doing in the country of Cambodia. You inspire me each and every day to represent Christ wherever I may find myself. I love you guys, and thank you for your 15 years of bringing the gospel to the nations.
I thank you for that.
I'm really thankful for that.
Thank you again for your commitment to being a missionary and your witness to so many.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
All right, well, while you go get some tissues and head off out of here, you guys can have a seat, and we're going to wrap things up here. What a special thing. That was a complete surprise to them. They did not know that was coming, and thanks to their kids for participating in creating that video. I just want to take just a couple of minutes as we wrap up here to follow up on Pat's challenge. He left us with a question, you know, what does more and more look like? So if that's the call, God's done an amazing thing, and we celebrate that this morning, but there's more work to be done. And what can that look like for us? Where do we go from here? You've heard about all the different facets of ministry in Cambodia and the Plot Pry and sponsoring students, and there's going to be ongoing opportunities to do that. The Prevahir School of Applied Ministry, where people can come from their villages and be taught the Word of God to go back and teach it to those in their own villages. And there's opportunity for support in that ministry. Greg and Jane with Refuge for the Poor, sponsoring students at their dorm in Phnom Penh, helping factory workers, their children at the ministry center. Again, many different opportunities to be involved in helping and in the ministry in Cambodia. Tom and Alicia Vosters, you heard Pat mention them. They're just starting a dorm ministry, and COVID certainly kind of put a dent in that to get it off the ground, but it's now getting going and starting, and there's opportunity again to help in that regard. And, of course, Pat and Jeannie and their leadership and support roles within World Team. And we appreciate what they are doing now from a leadership perspective to enable ministry to happen within the Cambodia field as a whole. And we desire to continue to see people go to the field, go to those who are least reached. We talk here at Davisville about unreached people groups. These are groups that have little to no access to the gospel message, to who Jesus is, why He came, and His love for them. And one of the unreached people groups that we also want to begin focusing on is in Bangladesh. And you've heard us talk about this if you've been around Davisville in the last year, as we've identified another area of the world within that 1040 window, an area where 3 out of 5 people who live in that area of the world have zero access to the gospel. And so we feel that God is leading us again as a church to do it again. More and more, to keep going. Certainly, we want to keep focusing in Cambodia, and who knows, God will raise up more people to join the team there. We would be excited about that. We also want to see a team raised up from here at Davisville to head to Bangladesh. In December, we launched our global partner training. This is a 3-stage process whereby people from our church can learn about missions, grow in the process of missions, and potentially head to the mission field, whether it be Bangladesh or another area of the world. We have 6 units, families, and individuals within Davisville that are currently involved in that process, and they're in stage 1, which is one-on-one mentoring, and this is something that they can self-pace, they can go at their own pace. It's also something that anyone can jump in on at any time, and so if this is something that God begins to work in your heart and saying, hey, I'm willing to take that first step, you know, the Cambodia team all had to decide at some point to take a first step, and maybe that's for you, and they didn't know where it would lead. And yet here we are celebrating what God did through them. And who knows, in another 15 or 20 years, could we be standing here, sitting here, celebrating what God has done in another area of the world, as well as his continued work in Cambodia. There is more work to be done. So what can you do? I leave you with 4 things just to challenge you to think about. First of all, I want to challenge you to learn. I want to challenge you to continue to learn about other areas of the world, the need that's there, and what God's doing in those places. It helps us to pray. Check out the global outreach card on the hub. There's videos, there's information. Attend the Difference Maker weekend that we're going to be having here at Davisville coming up in November. Another great opportunity to be equipped and just learn. And check out those the people who are going to be out in the foyer out there as you leave. Steve McLaverty from our global outreach team will be out there to answer questions about the global partner training or any area of missions that you want to get information on here at Davisville. World team representative will be out there, as well as Greg and Jane at table with Refuge for the Poor. So there's even this morning some opportunities just to interact and get to know. Certainly you have opportunities to give, and I mentioned a number of those things, and you can, it was staggering to me. I had not heard those numbers before of the amount of financial resources that have been invested, and praise God for that and what he has done through your financial giving, and there's further opportunity to do that. You can go. You can join the global partnership training process. You can say, I'll take the first step, and we'll see, Lord, where you want this to go. Or you can encourage others who are doing that and pray for them, and that's the last one. So learn, give, go, pray. Pray. Pray for the people who are in the process right now. Pray for the people who are just standing on this stage and the ministries they represent. Pray for Bangladesh and God's work that's already going on there and that might happen through a team from Davisville. Pick up a prayer guide right outside the door here. You can pray for our missionaries. They've put that together, our global outreach team. It's a great tool just to help you to be informed and be able to pray. So those are some of the ways in which we can continue to get involved in this grand plan and design that God is doing. We're so excited about it. So the question might be that we would leave here is why? Why should I do any of these things? Why should I be involved in some way? And to answer that question, I think the simple answer is because it's God's heart that people from all over the world have the opportunity to know and follow Jesus and be transformed by him. People in places perhaps where it's very difficult to be a follower of Jesus, and yet you see the joy that he brings in their lives and on their faces. But perhaps this captures it, and this will lead us into our last song this morning. It's a passage from Revelation chapter 7, and it simply says this. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, and who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." The Lamb who is willing to give his life so that we could know God, have a relationship with him, know forgiveness, know freedom, and know that we have an eternity that's safe with him.